Last month, the month of May, we focused on mental health, and Pastor Micah did a wonderful job, didn't she? Didn't she do an amazing, amazing, wonderful job? Yes, yes. Please be looking forward to some more information. She's got some writing she's going to be offering to the congregation to help us continue to think through how faith and mental health can work together. And so we're so grateful for your gift, Pastor Micah, and being able to have a place here to bless us tremendously. We are starting a new sermon series today, the title of the sermon series is The Benediction. And my question for us as we start this morning is, when was the last time you felt blessed? You know, I often hear statements like, I'm so blessed to have so many healthy children. Or, you know, hey, I received a promotion that I've been waiting for. I feel so blessed. Or we just moved into the house of our dreams or renovated our house to be the place of true, true blessing. And we just feel so blessed when we think about these times in our lives, right? When they provide comfort, when they provide freedom, when they provide opportunity. I came home recently this past week. I saw a letter on the table. And it had that official law office language all over it. Like, you know, you just knew from the top, like, this was serious. I started to read it. It's official language, legal language, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it was about a class action lawsuit, Joel. It's a class action lawsuit. But it was one of those in which we were included. And then I got to the second page, and it said, you're receiving a check for $800. I said, hashtag blessed. I don't even know what this lawsuit was. Charlotte, do you remember us signing up for the class action lawsuit, you know, from T-Mobile or whoever it was that took advantage of us? I don't remember. I don't recall. But I just remember the feeling immediately was like, finally, we can take our family of six out to eat and not have to just order water. We most often associate blessing with positive circumstances, don't we, Kyle? We associate it with wealth, Sam. We associate it with comfort and the absence of problems. And the reason we do that is because we want to be well. In a book filled with numbers, there's this little gem of scripture that's been called the priestly blessing or the Aaronic blessing, not the ironic blessing. And over time, this blessing was used formally to close worship services. And in Israel, after their tabernacle of worship, the benediction, a name that means bestowing a blessing, especially at the end of a religious service, began to be the practice by which every Israelite was accustomed to hearing. They were hearing a blessing. They were hearing a bestowing spoken over their lives. And if you got any kind of church background, especially in a mainline church, then you may be familiar with this benediction, this blessing. The pastor or the priest would come up at the end of the service, and they would offer this benediction, this blessing, to the entire congregation. The reformer John Calvin says that the blessing is an efficacious testimony of God's grace, meaning there is nothing greater than the grace that God bestows on us in this glorious pronouncement. But here's a little bit of the historical context before we get right into the passage of scripture. The original Hebrew title for this book of Numbers was a word that meant wilderness, which is fitting because it takes place in between the time that they are delivered from Egypt before they go into their promised land. And this benediction, this blessing, takes place at the base of Mount Sinai, that place where Moses received the Ten Commands and gave them to the children of Israel. So it was actually before they entered into the wilderness. And God gave Moses these words to give to Aaron the priest to take them along the way on their journey. Now, the Israelites, we know in hindsight that they spent 40 years in the wilderness, but they didn't know that they were about to spend that much time. They had no idea they would be going around and around in circles and what would happen to them while they were on this journey. But God had some kind of inclination that it wasn't going to be easy for them. And what they needed to know and understand that along the way, they were blessed. We need that same kind of word. We're in our in-between places. Some of us are in between that place where we are delivered, but not yet into our promised land. We're in between the place of where we have been pronounced free and healed and delivered and actually receiving that deliverance, that healing, that place of rest. We're in the middle, and we're not really sure what's going to happen in the middle. And it's when we're in the middle that we question whether God cares about us. It's in the middle where we question whether we're on the right path. It's in the middle where we wonder if we've got enough strength to make it through and to persevere. And in the midst of all of that questioning, Moses gives to Aaron these words. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." This is the word of the Lord. Let this word fill our minds, flow from our mouths, and free our hearts to live as the beloved children of God. Now, in this passage, friends, we believe that we can learn a few things about the Lord. Not just were true then, but are true for us today, because even though we don't live under the old covenant promised to Israel with its Aaronic priesthood, we do have a high priest who desires to bless us. And the benediction has three parts where we'll spend over the next 3 weeks. The first part is the blessing. The second part is the belonging. And the third part is the beginning again. Today's message is, I am blessed. Can y'all say that with me? I am blessed. Now, the first point, if you're taking notes today, is that God is the foundation of blessing. God is the foundation of blessing, and that means that God is the source of blessing. And though we find these words spoken from Aaron to the children of Israel, they were given to Aaron through Moses by God, because God is the one who blesses. Listen again to each of the three parts of this benediction and how they begin. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Three times, the common denominator in each sentence is the Lord. We are not the foundation or the source of our own blessing. And this is a foundational understanding to our relationship with God, who created the heavens and the earth and all of the things that are in it. God created humanity, Adam and Eve, and the first thing he did was God blessed them. He says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." God began with blessing, and one of the first things he did with humanity was he blessed them, and he gave them a command. And guess what the last thing that Jesus did before Jesus ascended into the heavens? Luke chapter 24, 50 tells us, he led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he did what? He blessed them. The last thing that Jesus wanted the disciples to hear was a word of blessing. They were about to go into the world. They were about to go into the world without the physical incarnate presence of Jesus Christ. And he wanted them to know that wherever you go, you carry and you take my blessing with you. This benediction is often spoken as a prayer. And it's not a "will you," it's a "I have." It's a "already done" kind of thing. It's not something that is contingent upon you or me. It is contingent upon the foundation of who God is. God proclaims this blessing over the children of Israel. And to proclaim blessing, another way of saying blessing is that God took delight in the children of Israel. He delighted in them. He enjoyed them. He smiled when he thought of them. God delighted and smiled when he thinks of you and of me. That God blesses. God doesn't bless something that God doesn't like. I don't really like you very much, but I'm going to bless you anyway. You know, you don't really appeal to me very much at all, but I'm going to bless you anyway. No, God blesses what God loves and what God enjoys. God is the foundation of blessing. But notice the other part in this benediction is that you are the focus of the blessing. Once again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. The Lord is the foundation, but you are the focus of the blessing. You're mentioned twice as much as God. Now, that don't mean you're more important than God. Don't get it twisted. You're not more important than God, but it does mean this. First of all, that God blesses us personally. God is relational. Six times these verses repeat, you, you, you. And each time it's in a singular form, not in a plural form, such that the blessing is not just for the whole community, but it's for every single person. Take into your imagination the benediction at the end of the worship service is not just a pronouncement over the whole congregation, but rather it's an invitation for each person to come and receive their blessing. Come on and receive your blessing. Not just generally a wave over the whole crowd, but one hand on one head. You are blessed. Personally, God sees you. But secondly, this word blessed is a Hebrew word that means literally to kneel down. When it says that God blesses you, it is to say, metaphorically here, that God lowers God's self down to where you are and comes to be near you. The picture is at the end of service, I love to stand out in the lobby and the little kids, they come and you know, they want to give me a hug or they want to give me a high five or they want to show me something that they made in the children's ministry. And I don't just stand up here and look down and say, oh yeah, that's nice. That's really cool. Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's so sweet. No, no, no. I get down. I get down and I say, I want to see that eye to eye. That's the picture of God saying, I'm not just going to sit up here high and look down low on you. I'm going to come down very close and be very near. This blessing is to kneel down, which on the other side, if you will, when it says that we bless God, it is to do the same thing. We kneel down when we bless God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We are taking a posture where we respect, we honor, we adore, and we love, and we accept the God who has knelt down to us. Pastor Tim Keller explains that understanding blessing requires a shift from seeing God as a distant benefactor to recognizing his intimate involvement in our lives. He says these words specifically, a blessing from God is his personal touch on our lives and a demonstration of his loving care and involvement. For God to say, I bless you, it is to say, I delight in you. I am near to you. I am involved with you, but not just involved, not just sitting with you, but it's also this. Notice the first part of the benediction is to bless you and to do what? Keep you. Write this down. God keeps what he blesses. God keeps what he blesses. Keep implies sustaining, supplying, protecting. And we're going to read this benediction in multiple translations throughout the next 3 weeks. But I want you to notice here this word keep is translated in different ways in different translations. In the New Living Translations, it says protect you. God will bless you and protect you.
In the International Standard Version, it says, God will guard you. He'll protect you. He'll guard you. In the Good News Translation, it says, he will take care of you. And all of these translations are based on the Hebrew word shamar. Everybody say shamar. It's like the old R&B group. Never mind. This word is also used in the Old Testament book of Genesis, and it is translated as guard. It's the Lord. It's the picture of the Lord setting the cherubim and with a flaming sword to guard the entrance of Eden and protect the tree of life from evil. This is a request of God, then. This benediction that God will bless you, has blessed you, and will keep you, is keeping you. It is the equivalent to what Jesus taught the disciples to pray. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Or as the psalmist David wrote in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. It is the provision, the guarding, the keeping of God. And do we not ask for these things? Do we not ask for God to bless and to keep us? Do we not ask for God to give us safe travels on the road? Do we not ask for God to watch over our families amidst all the dangers in life? Do we not ask God to provide food and clothing and shelter, the necessities of life? And the fact that God includes this instruction to Aaron shows that God cares about such needs, particularly because they're going into the wilderness where they will face danger from tribes. They will face opposition even from within and conflict. They will face times when they are hungry and thirsty and they won't know where their food or their water will come from. And yet, the pronouncement of this benediction, this blessing, is that the Lord will bless you and keep you. And Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 6, a passage of scripture I've been meditating on quite a bit. Don't be anxious about what you will have to eat or wear. Don't I supply the sparrows with what they need? Surely I will do the same for you. So when the priest declared blessing and keeping before the Israelites, they were affirming that God would be right there with them when it looks like God is nowhere to be found. Now that ought to bring up three misconceptions in our minds about God's blessing. Number one is that blessings are material wealth, right? While material prosperity can be a blessing, beloved, it is not the primary or sole form of blessing. Blessing encompasses spiritual growth. It encompasses healthy relationships. It encompasses peace and other non-material aspects that reflect God's goodness, faith, hope, and love. As Israel was going into the wilderness, they would be exposed to all kinds of danger, and they might judge themselves worthy based on what they had externally. If God loves us, then why do we have this to deal with? If God is there for us, then why do we have to struggle like this? I don't know if anybody's ever said that before. But we can tie our blessing to our material wealth. And that's just a misconception what blessing is. Number two, luck is just a different term of blessing. That's another misconception about blessing. Luck implies a randomness and a lack of purpose. Blessing, in contrast, suggests there is an intentionality in the relationship. This relationship with God, given and bestowed upon God's beloved, we are called to recognize, and that is why we give thanks to God for the deliberate acts of grace rather than attributing them to luck or even the universe. The universe is there for you. The universe will provide for you. The universe, the universe, the universe. And I don't know if that means the natural order of the way things just work or if it means we don't have a real name for God and so therefore we call it universe. But as believers, we ought to point the finger to who it is. It reminds me of Paul at Mars Hill where they had all kinds of statements to this God and to that God and to this one and to that one. And he said, hey, listen, I see you've got all of these statements to the God of this and the God of that. Do you know who the God is that provided all of that? His name is Yahweh. He is the Jehovah. He is the provider. He is the one who came, who lived in the presence of Jesus Christ and died for you. When you're wondering, how is all of this happening? We don't just attribute it to chance. We look for the divine intervention and protection of God. Number three misconception. There's probably more, but number three is probably one really that challenges all of us, is that positive outcomes are blessings. Only positive outcomes are blessings. Not all blessings, beloved, are immediately recognizable as positive. And sometimes God's blessings come through challenges that shape our character and deepen our faith. That's why we hold on to verses of Scripture like Romans chapter 8, 28, that all things work for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And so as we deal with these misconceptions, we deal with them as we wrestle in our heart. What does it mean to be blessed? And one of the pictures of blessing probably in the Old Testament reminds us of these words, that God blesses and keeps as a father to his child. God blesses and keeps as a father to his child. You might recall, if you've been around the Bible any amount of time, the story in Genesis chapter 5 of some twins named Jacob and Esau. They were the twin sons of Isaac and Rebekah. And before Rebekah had even conceived, Isaac prayed, God, give us a child. And Rebekah received a word from God, a prophecy, in fact, that declared she would carry two sons representing two nations in her womb. But the younger son would serve the older one. And which is a reversal, by the way, of the birthright blessing that belongs to the firstborn son. God said to Rebekah and Isaac, I know the cultural custom of primogeniture, which is to say that the firstborn gets the blessing, but I want you to bless the second one. I'm putting my blessing on him, the one that comes out second. He will be the one to receive the inheritance. He will be the one that will become the father of many nations. He will be the one. And the story goes that Jacob and Esau wrestled in their mother's womb. And Esau came out first. Y'all know what he looked like, right? Y'all know the story. He was kind of rough looking, you know, kind of ruddy. Which, by the way, was exactly the kind of son his father had hoped for. A ruddy, rough looking, sent out to go hunt and bring in the animals kind of son. And for Isaac, the scripture says he set his heart on Esau. He delighted in him. He doted over him. He gave him everything, and he ignored the prophecy and also did not have the same kind of affection for Jacob. And Jacob felt that rejection. He felt that rejection from his father because his father had rejected him. He became angry with his father, perhaps even resentful towards his father. Because what he wanted to hear from his father is that his father loved him. That his father desired his attention, his presence, his affection. He was worthy of it. Even though he didn't look like him, even though he didn't fit the profile of the perfect son that he had hoped for, he still wanted to hear it. And as Esau was on the heart of Isaac, Jacob was on the heart of Rebekah. And she did, y'all know the story, everything in her power to secure that blessing, even tricking Isaac. He had gotten old and blind, and Esau was out on one of his hunts, and it was getting time for that blessing to be passed on. So Rebekah dressed her son Jacob, who was not rough and rugged around the edges. He was probably, you know, a good-looking man, smooth skin, smelled good, and everything like your boy up here. And so she put this fur all on him to make him rough-looking, rubbed him in the mud and everything like that. I'm a city boy. Y'all just got to understand. I'm just a city boy. She roughed him up, sent him on into Isaac's tent, and he blessed him. He blessed Jacob, not Esau. I had to know that as sooner or later they were going to find out, right? Esau was going to come home at some point. Huh? He was going to find out, and he found out. Isaac was upset. Esau was even more upset to the point he wanted to kill Jacob, and Jacob had to flee for his life, leaving without the blessing, no inheritance, left his mom, left his dad, left his family. He's out all on his own. And beloved, sometimes that's us too. We want to hear God will bless us, but we choose our own way in order to get that blessing. We want to hear and we want to receive God's blessing on our lives, but we do it by hook or crook, as my dad would say. Doing it our own way rather than following the way of God. Jacob does not see his blessing, watch this, until Genesis chapter 32 when he wrestles with the angel of the Lord who represents a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. In Rebekah's womb, he wrestled with Esau, his brother. Outside of the womb, he wrestled with Isaac, his father. But it wasn't until he came face to face with God that he finally received his blessing. You're not going to find the blessing of the Lord out in the world. You're not going to find the blessing of the Lord by wrestling in your own way. It's when you surrender and just allow yourself to receive God's blessing, will you get God's blessing. And this story resonates with us so much because we want all of the great things, but we miss out on the fact that God has relationship for us. And that relationship is a blessing that cannot be taken away. Here's a couple of questions I want to ask you. Number one, what are you seeking more than anything else? Are you seeking the external things of life? Or are you seeking the presence of God? What are you seeking more than anything else? Is it to know that God is with you? Number two, are you following Christ expecting earthly gifts and comfort and prosperity to follow? Or are you seeking Christ because Christ is the ultimate blessing and worth every sacrifice? Did you come, you know, into this faith hoping, okay, I'm a child of God, I'm a child of the King. That means I get all the King stuff. And what that means in your mind, crown and jewels. Or are you satisfied with the presence, the relationship with Jesus? And then lastly, are your comforts actually causing you to become lukewarm? Are your comforts causing you to neither be hot for God or cold? You're just kind of in the middle, depending on yourself rather than depending on God. You've lost a zeal for following God and being in relationship with Jesus. Have your comforts caused you to just be chill? Have they caused you to become apathetic? I want to end the message today with a few things to remind us of why we're blessed. Number one, you are blessed because of spiritual blessings that far outweigh earthly blessings. You could meditate on this in the first chapter of Ephesians all the way through, but in verse 3 it says, "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ Jesus." You are blessed beyond measure today, regardless of where you are on the journey, regardless of what you have or you don't have, regardless of the condition of your health or your financial status or your relationship status. You are blessed in the heavenly realms. Number two, you are blessed because you are the beloved of God. You are the beloved child of God. There's no greater blessing than this. Ephesians chapter 1, again, 4 through 6, that we have received this belovedness in and through Christ Jesus. That the core of your identity is not found in the things that you have or you don't have. It is found in this one thing, that you are bestowed with a belovedness in your relationship with Jesus. And then number three, you are blessed because you are forgiven. You are blessed because you are forgiven. Again, through Ephesians 1, 7 through 10, this is the grace of God that he has bestowed a forgiveness on us and redeemed us and claimed us for God's self. You are forgiven. There is nothing that you can do that will take you away from the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. And when the past looks more attractive than your present, know that you are forgiven. When you're unsure of where the future is going to lead you, know that you are forgiven. You are the beloved child of God. You have all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms that are bestowed upon you. And I don't want you to keep this to yourself. Here's the last picture I want to share with you. I don't have a picture of it. I've been looking for it. I can't find it. But it is a testimony of blessing from my father who passed away in 2015. We had gotten to the point where we noticed that he was very, very near his last days. And I was at my house with my mom and my dad in Alexandria, Virginia. I called my wife, I called my sister, called everybody, said, hey, come on and get here. We need everybody here now because it's close to the end. And so we all got there, my wife and four children, my sister, two of her three at the time, her husband were there. My cousin, who considered my father his father, as he was raised without a father. My dad was that father figure in his life. His children, his wife. We were all crowded in this room, a bunch of us. There was no breathing air in the room at all. And my dad had enough lucidness in his body, in his mind, that he blessed every single person in the room. He spoke a word of blessing over each and every one. And if you can imagine the scene, as it got to the grandchildren, that's when I just lost it, right? It got to the grandchildren, and he began to lay hands on the grandchildren and to bless them. But not only that, my oldest son had just turned 10. Second son was going to be turning 10 the following year. And what my dad had been doing since every grandchild was born, and he set aside a little jar, and he would put loose coins in that jar. And his plan was, when they turned 10, he was going to present them with this jar and then teach them about tithing, teach them about giving, and how much God has prepared for them even before they were aware of it. How much God had prepared for them and presented to them an inheritance to give to them even before they could earn it. How much God had prepared for them and had given to them even before they knew how to count it. And he gave this jar to Carter. When Carter, right then in the room, and he gave the jar to Campbell, and he said he didn't have the other jars prepared, but what he was thinking and preparing for each child was not only to give them a blessing, but also to give them an inheritance. I don't even just bless you, children. I keep you. I make a way for you. And there is no better picture than to have us be ones who carry that blessing to one another, to say to somebody else, you are blessed. You are the beloved of God. You have been provided for. You have been kept. These are words that we want to hear over ourselves and words that we can give to one another. I think about that picture often, and so my application for you today is this. First of all, that you would memorize Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. Memorize it. Pick one of the translations, okay? They all good, all right? They all good enough. Pick one. Whatever your favorite one is, if you want to memorize it in the old King James Version with the these and thous, go for it. Memorize Numbers 6, 24 through 26. But then I invite you to bless your family members. And I invite you to do this at one of two times, either at the dinner table while you're eating or before you go to bed. Do it at the dinner table while you're eating, or do it before you go to bed. Take turns blessing each other. If you are, just the two of you, husband and wife, wife, you bless, and then husband, you bless. If you got roommates, hey, get the roommates together and say, hey, we're gonna do a roommate blessing right now. We're going to all just bless one another, and we're going to take turns. If you got children, bless your children, and invite your children to bless you. Receive that blessing from your children. And that's the third thing. Speak blessing to one another. At the first of the year, we introduced a prayer model to the church. You actually find some of these in the seat back pocket in front of you. And the last step in this intercessory prayer model is what? Everybody look at it. What it says? Bless. Say it. I can hear you.
Bless.
What it say?
Bless.
We want everybody, and I mean everybody, to make this a model of prayer that is a part of the culture in your life. We end our prayer with blessing. It is a good word that we want to hear over our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly, most gracious Lord, we thank you for your word in Numbers chapter 6. We know there are misconceptions we have about what it is to be blessed. And so thank you, God, for clearing that up for us today, reminding us that you are the foundation of blessing, but we are the focus. How good is it to hear that? May we would hear the word of blessing from you, but Lord, may we also hear it from one another, that we are blessed and that we are kept. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.